Good morning. And welcome to the At 10 service at Newbury Baptist Church. If you're visiting here today, a particular warm welcome to you. My name is Paul and I am one of the members here. Our minister is taking a well-earned break just now, so today you get me. I make no promises about what's going to happen. It's going to be a bit of a chaotic service, I expect, because it usually is when I'm doing it. There's a couple of things that I want to make you aware of before we get going. First of all, there's a service called Wrapped with Love. That's not a church service, it's an activity service, called Wrapped with Love. The churches in the Newbury area are offering a wrapping service for Christmas gifts in the Kennett Centre. So some of you may remember that we did this before. It's happening again this year. From Monday the 18th to Saturday the 23rd, it says on this notice. Hopefully you were given some notices about that when you came in, but that's just to emphasise that. Nikki has a notice for us.
Good morning. I just wanted to highlight a special evening that we've got coming up in the new year on Friday the 12th of January. It should be a great opportunity for us to get together in the new year, and we'll be listening to some music and poetry, and through that reflecting on the hope that we can all have as we go forward into this new year, that hope that spurs us on. It should be a great opportunity to get together as a church family. There's going to be a quality supper for us to enjoy together. Some very talented musicians and readers who are working hard to make it a great evening. And we'll also be hearing from Jonathan Littledale a little bit about the work of the Christie's charity, which is obviously a charity that's been close to our heart in recent months. As part of that will be the opportunity, if you'd like to and you're able, to also be able to support that work financially. The tickets are free. There is no charge for the tickets, but we do have a limit on the numbers that we can cater for. So seeing as half the tickets have gone already, I just want to really encourage you to, if that sounds good, just to get in touch with Patricia and the church office to reserve your ticket. Also, if you like baking and would like to contribute in that way, again, Patricia would love to hear from you. So just two things to remember from all of that: Friday the 12th of January, and let Patricia know if you want to come. Thanks.
Thank you. I particularly wanted to say thank you this morning to those who have put in so much effort to make the church look so beautiful this morning. It's a huge amount of work to decorate a space as big as this and make it as lovely as they have done. So can we say thank you in the normal way? Thank you very much to those who have worked so hard. So today is the third Sunday in Advent, and we will light our wreath of candles. And James and Carol, I think, are coming to... Ah, excellent. It's good to see that Mum still doesn't trust them with matches, isn't it? Lovely. Just one more candle to go before Christmas. And as we turn our thoughts to our service this morning, I'd just like to read to you from Psalm 103. It's a psalm of David. It says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made his ways known to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love." And in that sense, we come this morning. And our first hymn, our first carol this morning is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. You will remember that in the first Sunday in Advent, we looked at the herald for a king. And we'll talk more about that in the sermon later. But the herald for the king is what we're singing about when we sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Let's stand and join together in that. And please remain standing, and we will go straight on and sing Away in a Manger. Please do sit down. Now, as I'm sure many of you will know, I don't have a box or a fancy bag, but I have got some plastic bags. So, you want to come and have a chat? Oh, okay.
Hello.
Here they come. Good, good. Oh, oh. So, does anybody know what this is? Yeah?
A crown.
A crown, that's right. And where would it come from?
Yeah? Three kings.
Three kings, yep. This is a crown that comes out of a Christmas cracker. I need a head. Will your head do? Will you wear the crown for me? There we go. Does that make him into a king? Do you feel like a king now?
Yeah.
You feel like a king, do you? Do you think that's a good crown?
Yeah.
Do you think that that might be a better crown?
Yeah.
You want to wear it? Go on then. You wear the better crown.
It's gold and silver.
That one's silver.
I'd like to wear it.
You have a crown. Oh, look at that. I haven't got one for everybody, but I've got some. There we go. There we go, that's all we got. Does that make you into kings or queens? No? Oh. What would make you into a king or a queen? Go on.
A dress.
A dress? That would help. Anything else? Do you know why there are crowns like this one in Christmas crackers? Go on.
Because Christmas is about celebrating Jesus' birth and Jesus was a king.
Excellent. It's about celebrating Jesus' birth and Jesus is a king. That's absolutely right. So if I pull out this...
Me!
Jesus.
Do you think that that's baby Jeezy? That's fake. You think that's fake? You can hold it. It's just a doll, isn't it? So does that mean that Christmas is a bit fake?
No.
There's nothing else in there.
That's just a pretend.
It's just a pretend one.
Jesus was actually real.
Will you come and see me for? Here we go. This one's real.
Yeah. That's mine, actually.
That one's yours, yes it is. Hello. That'd be all right. Hello. So the message that we think about at Christmas is not about plastic dolls or paper crowns. We think about real babies. Jesus was a real baby. And he grew up to be a real man. This one's going to grow up to a real woman, but that's what we had available. A real man. And Jesus is just as real today as Fern is. Absolutely. So when you think about Christmas and you look at the little baby in the manger at home or on the Christmas cards, remember, this is not about a dolly and it's not about a paper crown. It's about a real baby. Okay? Thank you. Thank you very much. Well done. If you want to go...
Okay. I'm opening her
open. Oh, you are, yes. Right. Would you like to go back and sit down? Now, some days when you plan and prepare for a service, things happen partway along the way in the process. And when I planned for this service 2 weeks ago, I had no idea that we were going to have a real baby coming to be blessed for the first time. So Jason, Shuki, would you like to bring up Skylar? So I got a call the other day saying, please, could we introduce Jason and Shuki and Skylar to the church and to pray for them as a family, as a new family? So this is Skylar. How old is Skylar?
4 months.
Skylar's 4 months old. Yeah. And Skylar lives in Malaysia. So, but is visiting for Christmas. And since Jason, as some of you will remember, Jason has been a part of our church, but now lives in Malaysia. A nice warm place. So we're going to pray for Skylar particularly, and then we'll pray as for the family. Good. Actually, Flo's going to come and stand and pray for Skylar first. There we go. All right. Shall we pray?
Dear Lord, thank you for this wonderful baby Skylar. Please bless her now and as she grows up. Thank you that you made her and you love her. In your name, amen.
Amen. Will Skylar talk to me? Will you come and see me? Hello. Excellent. Excellent. There we go. So hopefully you can all see Skylar. I'm going to stay up here because there's some things that I'm just not that comfortable, like walking around with babies. I'm a little out of practice. I mean, you've seen what happened. Anyway, so let's pray for the family. Father, we thank you for this new family. We thank you for Mum and Dad, Jason and Shuki. We thank you for the safe delivery of Skylar. And we pray that Mum and Dad will grow and understand you better through the day-to-day watching of their baby growing up in the way that you have ordained through creation. Father, we thank you for all the things that family represents, and we pray your blessing continuously on this lovely new family as they grow to learn and understand each other, as they grow to learn and understand you together. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well done. Well done. Thank you. And I've got a card here from the church just to remind you of this event. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Shall we just pray before the children leave us? Father God, we thank you for the gift of new life. We thank you that you remind us that you were born as a child. You grew up through all the growing pains of ordinary children and young people. Father, that you became fully human whilst also being fully divine. Father, we pray that all of the excitement, all of the interest, and all of the understanding that you have given to us, we would share with these children through your work here on a Sunday morning and through our daily lives together. Father, bless the children and their teachers as they go to their classes. In Jesus' name, amen. Excellent. So we're going to sing again, two songs. First of all, we're going to sing O Little Town of Bethlehem, and then we're going to sing O Come All Ye Faithful. So please do stand together and let's sing these two marvellous carols together. Please do sit down. Father God, we thank you particularly at this time for Jesus, your Son, sent into the world, that we would be able to know you, that we will be able to live with you and have a real living experience of a real live God. Father, thank you for all the things that you have given to us, and we pray that you will take these gifts of money and use them for the extension of your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now we're going to have our prayers of intercession, which are going to be led by Bethan.
Dear Lord, thank you that at this time of year, we can celebrate your coming to earth as a baby in order to receive the best gift we ever could, a relationship with you through Jesus dying on the cross. Lord, I pray for those whom Christmas time may be a struggle, both in our congregation and outside. I pray for those who are ill, that you would bring them strength and recovery. I pray for those who have lost loved ones and for those whose first Christmas this is without that loved one. I pray that you would bring them peace and show them your love. We pray for countries that have been broken by war and natural disasters. Show these people healing and peace. We pray for persecuted Christians who were unable to publicly and freely celebrate your birth as we are able to. I pray that you would give them your strength and endurance. Thank you that you are with all of these people. Lord, we pray for the Christmas events coming up in NBC, as well as churches across the country. Thank you for the wonderful opportunities these events are to spread your good news, and I pray you'd be preparing hearts ready for them. We pray for the carol service this afternoon, as well as this Christingle service, the midnight service, and the Christmas Day service, as well as many other events. Thank you for the success of Birchwood on Wednesday lunchtime, and thank you were able to put a smile onto the residents' faces through the people that went. We pray for all these things in your name. Amen.
So in our next song, which is King of Kings, Majesty, it gives us an opportunity to respond to Jesus personally, not just the plastic doll or the Jesus on the front of a card, but actually gentle saviour, says the words, gentle saviour, closest friend. And Nikki just shared with me a very funny little story about it. At some church, some place, there was a typing error as they put the words up, and it said gentle saviour, closet friend. Which is kind of funny and yet very challenging at the same time. And there is that, hopefully that challenge for us this morning. Is the Jesus a bit too personal for you? Is he that plastic doll? Is he the one on the card? Are you keeping him a bit too much to yourself? And so, yeah, and obviously the gospel is a message for all times and all years. So a challenge there for us, Jesus, is he the closet friend? Let's stand and sing, or please sit if you'd like to. So King of Kings, a chance to respond to the personal saviour that we have. And King of Kings, Majesty, God of heaven, living in me, gentle.
morning comes from Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have come your father"? Or again, "I will be his father, and he will be my son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Dawn. So here we are. Three candles lit, one to go. The third Sunday in Advent. In the first two Sundays of Advent, we look at passages from Luke. Remember that Luke's reason for writing both his books, that's the Gospel of Luke and Acts, is to help the Jews to understand all the references to the Messiah in the Old Testament. So when Luke opens the story of Jesus at the beginning of Luke in the first Sunday of Advent, we have called it the Herald for the King, because it's the story of the angel telling Elizabeth that she will have a son who will be John the Baptist, and it's John who is the herald for the king. The second Sunday in Advent is about the song for the king. This is about the song that Mary sings when she is told by the angel that she will be having a baby and she will call him Jesus. The third Sunday of Advent, we're reading from Hebrews. Now, Hebrews is an interesting book, particularly going deeper into the statements about who Jesus really is. And the challenge that it presents us with in this day and age is a question about how do we engage with a real, living person that is Jesus. It's very easy, I think, for me, certainly, to compartmentalize my discussions about my faith. And it's very easy for me to position Jesus in the context of a debate. Something that's a bit abstract. Something that's a bit of a discussion point. Something that's a bit of an investigation, an academic exercise. But the point of what the writer to the Hebrews, and we don't know who the writer to the Hebrews was, but the point that the writer to the Hebrews is making is this is a real living person. This is your God. So we do know a few things about Hebrews as a book, just putting it in some context. It was clearly written around 80 AD, so around the time after the destruction of the Second Temple. So the Jews are in some despair about whether or not the Messiah that, particularly the early Christian Jews, were in some despair about whether the Messiah that they believed to be Jesus Christ was in fact the Messiah that they were looking for, because, well, actually the Romans had come in and destroyed the temple. And the very thing that they thought was going to happen was that Jesus was going to come in with an army and basically kick the Romans out. And that's what they really wanted to happen. But they were beginning to understand that the story of what Jesus is all about is not about violence. It's not about a king that comes with a sword and armor, or a king that comes with a nuclear missile and a tank. It's a story about a Jesus who comes, a God who comes in the form of a baby, who comes in peace, who comes to bring peace, who, when people understand what his message is really all about and follow as instructed in what Jesus has to say to them, brings peace. It doesn't bring prosperity, it doesn't bring wealth, it doesn't bring an easy life, it doesn't bring conquest over others who would appear to be oppressing. It brings peace. A peace between mankind and God. The whole of the salvation story that we read both in the New Testament and the promises of the Old Testament is about peace. It's not about peace as opposed to war. It's about peace as opposed to conflict with God. There will still be wars. There are still wars. And until we see Christ come again, as is promised both in the Old Testament and the New, there will continue to be wars. Hebrews gets down into the detail, the whole of the Hebrews book. We have a very small piece to read this morning. And the amount of time that, I had to spend quite a lot of time in getting my head around the whole of the story that's going, the storyline that's going on in Hebrews, in order to be able to pull out this little extract. And what I was frustrated by is, I only have 10 minutes to talk to you this morning, because there's so many exciting things in there. There's so many references back to what's going on in the Old Testament. There's so many clarifications of what the Gospels are saying. So the Gospels tell us that high-level story. The Hebrews really gets down into the detail, and it's really worthwhile putting some study time in. But it opens with the key message. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. The question that some of the Jews were asking was, is this Jesus really the Son of God? Well, is he? Is he really the Son of God? And if he really is the Son of God, what does that mean? After all, if God is, then surely everything changes. And if it doesn't change, do we really believe that God is? The challenge of the little baby and growing up into a man who is crucified, dies, and then rises again exactly as the prophecy foretells is that this is about the relationship between Christ and God. And there are those who said, ah, yes, but Jesus was just a man, right? He just was a man of the time. However, Hebrews goes on to say, everything that was created through him. So we're now not just linking Jesus, the small baby born in a manger. We're not just linking the king who is born to be king of the Jews and indeed king of the world. We're now linking back to the dawn of creation, the point at which God made everything. And the question is still there. Is God? Because if God is, then everything has to change. And if there is no God, then how did we come to be here? What is our existence? And what is the meaning of it? The passage goes on and talks about Jesus sitting down at the right hand of God. I find the right part. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. He sat down. The message about Christ sitting down at the right hand of God is the message about it is done. The relationship between mankind and God has now a conduit, a way of connecting back between fallen, failed humanity and the perfect Godhead. So Jesus is there as that linkage, the whole point, the link in the chain, the completion of the story that the Jews knew, that the Old Testament explained and expounded, that there would be a Messiah. The promise of everything about the reconciliation between God and mankind is now done. And the message of this passage in Hebrews is that it is finished. And Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Majesty. So not only was Jesus there at creation, not only is Jesus the message from God, remember that in the former days God spoke to us through the prophets, but now he has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus. And then he sat down. The work is completed. There is nothing left to do. And now the question is then, who is your Jesus? Because for a lot of people, Jesus is that nice compartmentalized discussion. For a lot of people, Jesus is that lovely image of a baby in a manger. For a lot of people, Jesus is that kind of academic discussion about, well, you know, we've got some theoretical view as to what Christianity may or may not mean. But is Jesus real? Is he a plastic doll in a manger? Is he a concept or a drawing on a Christmas card or a piece of artwork? Or is it a real living, thriving, breathing God that you worship, that affects everything that you do? As I worked my way through this, I was stunned at the way God actually handles things. The plan, as I said earlier, was to do the children's talk and to bring a real-life baby. Thank you very much for a real-life baby. And wasn't she wonderful? To bring a real-life baby. And then I got a phone call. There's another real-life baby. And you got to deal with that. And I just marveled at the way God had taken hold of everything that had been planned and said, no, this is what I want. Tremendous. And if you argue there is no God, how do we live? If there is no message about creation, how should we live? If there is no message about peace, how should we live in a world that's full of conflict? And if there's a message about peace, if there's a message about relationship between mankind and God, then surely it's got to be that message that's embodied in a small child, not a plastic doll. It's got to be a relationship with a living, breathing Jesus that is the message of how we should live. How then should we live? We can go on, but I'm not going to, and look at all of the instruction about how we should live our lives and how we should respond. I've talked many times from this pulpit about the messages that Luke brings in his stories in Acts, telling the story of how Jesus communicated. I've talked also about Romans and how Paul unpacks the idea specifically for the Romans or the, quote, non-Jews, that's us, that this is a God for us as much as it is a God for the Jews. I've unpacked and shared a lot of thinking about how the revelation to John expounds the way that the Jews saw and the way that we can see the future. However, the question still remains, who is your Jesus? The plastic doll, the image on the card, or a real living experience of somebody who affects every breath you take, every step, every piece of work you do, every thought that you have? If Jesus doesn't affect everything, then he affects nothing. And that's a big challenge. In a busy life, in lots of things going on, with preparations for Christmas, with beautiful decorations and Christmas wrapping and turkeys to stuff and food to create and all the things that go on when you sit down on Christmas morning, whether it's at home, whether it's in here. When you sit down on Christmas morning, remember, this is not a baby in a manger. This is not a plastic doll in a cot. This is not an image on a Christmas card. This is a God who affects everything, or he affects nothing. Amen. We're going to close our service and we're going to sing a song which is new, and the band were, for those of you who were here just before the service started, the band were singing the song before everybody came in. So if it feels a little bit unfamiliar, please bear with it. But
it's okay. I will teach them.
Thank you very much.
Right. So, You're the Word of God the Father. A great song. I think every line is pretty much based on scripture, which is always a good sign. So this is who Jesus is. I'm going to just do the verse with you, and it's kind of the same sort of rhythmical pattern. So let's just do the first bit together. So I will stop and then you can sing with me. You're the Word of God the Father, from before the world began. Every star and every planet has been fashioned by your hand. Same tune, but we'll sing the next bit. We'll still sing. Same tune, but different words. All creation holds together by the power of your voice. Let the skies declare your glory. Let the land and seas rejoice. Okay, and the chorus is a bit different. I'll sing it for you. You're the author of creation. You're the Lord of every man. And your cry of love rings out across the land. So chorus together. You're the author. So if we stand together, we'll sing the verse one again. You're the Word.
You're the Word of God the Father, from before the world began. Every star and every planet has been fashioned by your hand. All creation holds together.
You're the Lord of every man, and
So as you go through the preparations for Christmas, as you wrap the presents, as you write the cards, as you prepare the food, put the love of Christ into everything that you do. And Father, we ask that at this seasonal time, at this time of great celebration, that you would be at the absolute heart of everything that we do. You are our Father, and we are your children. And as parents and children celebrate Christmas together, remind us of that. And now may the blessing of the Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon us and remain with us always. Amen.